It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
But what a great day it is to be serving God, and what a great day it is to know Jesus as our Savior. In just a few moments, we're going to be looking in Revelation chapter 16. I would ask you if you have the opportunity to have your Bible open. I do use the King James Version Bible. I believe it is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 16 is where we're going to be, and we're going to be looking today at the judgment of God, or God's judgment, and the repentance which glorifies God. Well, the judgments of God do not of themselves produce true repentance as we study the Scriptures. It's seen in the Scriptures somewhat as we're reading today, and these men that we read about, repented not to give God glory. In Revelation chapter 16, and through the sections of Scriptures that we don't have time to read today, there's many Scriptures which speaks about what's going to take place in the future. It's speaking about a time called Jacob's trouble. Well, the Bible tells us and teaches us that there's never been a time like this, and there's never going to be a time like it again. And if God had not shortened those days, as we read in the Scriptures, it says if he had not shortened those days that's about to come upon man, there would be no flesh saved. In other words, everybody would be destroyed. But God, through his mercy, he has mercy even when men do not repent of sin. See, God is long-suffering toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible teaches us that he is long-suffering toward us, that he's willing, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that people should be saved and could be saved if they will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God has mercy that comes down and is shed abroad through this human race, people who do not deserve what they receive from God. God saves people. He saves their lives, and he saves those individuals today who will trust him as Lord and Savior. In Revelation chapter 16, the Bible says this, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went, and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Now notice what's happening here. The wrath of God is being poured out upon man. Verse 4 says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now notice these verses 8 and 9. It says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." What a sad picture that is of man. How that God's, not when I speak of man, I'm speaking of mankind here, how that God's speaking of mankind in these verses, what a sad commentary it is when God's judgment is poured out upon the human race and they fail to repent and turn to God. But yet, they shake their fists in the face of God and say, "I have nothing to do with you." Well, the judgments of God may produce a repentance, but as we see, there's more than one kind of repentance. there's a carnal repentance. It's caused by the fear of punishment. And we look back in the Old Testament, and we see an example of Cain after he slew his brother Abel. Now, some would teach you and try to tell you that Cain repented. Well, he did. But he did not have the repentance that turned him to God. Instead of bringing a blood sacrifice to God and saying, "God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life, for not sacrificing in the right manner, and I'm sorry for killing my brother." Instead of saying this, he said, "My punishment is more than I can bear." He did not turn to God. He did not repent of his sin and ask God's forgiveness. That's a carnal, fleshly repentance. Then there's a temporary repentance. It's a repentance which ends with the judgment, the trial that we see that Pharaoh was under, how that God's judgments came upon the land of Egypt because they would not let God's people go. Moses said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh kept stalling, and even though all of the plagues came upon Egypt, the plagues of frogs, the water turned to blood, and the lice, and all down through there, all the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. Now, actually, when we say God brought the plagues upon Egypt, you need to understand that man brings these plagues upon himself, just as Pharaoh did. Pharaoh would not repent. He did not do what was right. He lied. He said, "Okay, you can take your people, but don't go very far." But he wouldn't even let them do that. It took the plague of the death of the firstborn for Pharaoh to say, "You can go." But then, after that took place, we see that he changed his mind, and he went after Moses and the people of Israel. He chased them. And we know the story there, how that the repentance that he had was a false repentance. He chased these people, and as we read the scriptures there about Pharaoh, we understand that he and his army, all of them, died in the Red Sea because they turned their backs upon God. They lied to God. They told Moses, "You can take the people without any kind of recompense, without any kind of thing coming up on you. We will not attack you." But God, we see, knew what was happening, and because of the temporary repentance of Pharaoh, all of these people died. All of Pharaoh's people, his army, the people who were with him chasing Israel, died. Then we see that there's a judgment. There's a superficial repentance. We see this daily, how that someone will say, "Yes, I'm turning to Christ." But it's superficial. They do not have a true repentance. In other words, repentance is changing one's mind and going in the right direction. But you see, when a person changes the mind, that doesn't save the person. The person needs to be willing to let Christ change their hearts. They need to be willing to let Jesus come into their heart and live. Well, in the case before us, in Revelation chapter 16, this chapter, the men under the plague went from bad to worse, from impenitence to blasphemy. And where there is true repentance, sin is forsaken. Now, I didn't say that there is no sin. The Bible says if we confess our sins as a Christian, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that can also be for an unsaved person. A person who comes to Jesus, asks God's forgiveness, and confesses that sin, saying, "God, forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me. Come into my life. Come into my heart." Well, as a Christian, we often do things that we shouldn't do. In fact, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and that's God. We make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. So what do? We confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's true repentance, when we've turned from that sin and we let God speak to our hearts and we have a cleansing that comes from heaven. Well, a greater sin is a result of not softening when God's judgment comes. First of all, man sins and sin becomes more a sin of knowledge. In other words, a person knows that there's a sin, but it's just a knowledge, a head knowledge, instead of a heart change. And then we see that man's sin becomes more of a sin of defiance. In other words, God, I don't care what you say. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Well, then we see that man's sin becomes a sin of lying before God. There's nothing worse than lying to God. Vows broken, resolutions forgotten. All of this is lying to the Holy Spirit. It may be something like this: God, I promise you that if you'll let me live another day, I'll serve you. God, I promise if you'll give me money, I'll serve you. God, I promise if you'll heal me, heal my wife, heal my children, I'll serve you. Well, and then when that's done, when we see something that has changed, that there's a healing or whatever takes place, that we've promised God, God, I'll serve you, and God does that thing, and then we shake our fist in the face of God and say, you know, I did this on my own. I don't need you, God. Man's sin becomes a sin of hate towards God. And we see that repentance of not turning from the sin, but keeping that sin. Man hates God in the sense that, God, why have you done this to me? Man continues on in sin, often sacrificing himself in spite of God. I'll show him. That's the attitude that so many people have. I'll show God. I don't need him. Now, they may not say that with their words, but they say it with their actions. Well, then we see that the sin becomes more and more deliberate, costly, and stubborn. The more a person sins, the more it costs. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. People need to turn from that sin. Let God turn them, quit being stubborn, and trust Jesus to save them. Now, finally, we see that the judgments of God are to be looked upon with discretion. Jews, by the grace of God, the judgments are, and his judgments tend to arouse, to impress, to subdue, to humble, and lead to true repentance. Well, the judgments of God may not in themselves be regarded as beneficial. In other words, sickness may come upon us. Poverty, pain, and something of that sort. But remember, we're still a human, and these things come upon us because we are in the human flesh, not always because of the judgments of God. We are not under judgment and terror. We should repent then. Why? Because it's sweeter and nobler to be drawn than to be like dumb, driven cattle. We need to make it our aim to give God glory. And we need to do that every day of our lives. And I ask you today, have you turned? Have you turned to God and changed your mind? Have you repented? Have you turned towards the cross? Have you changed your mind about going to heaven? You want to go to heaven instead of going to a devil's hell? Then you need to let God take your life. You need to turn to him and say, Lord, I need eternal life. Please forgive me of my sin. Lord, I repent. I've changed my mind of who you are. I believe you're God. I believe, Jesus, you came to seek and to save me, and I'm turning myself over to you right now. Please come into my heart and save me. I want to see you one day in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.